Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. How are you doing? How's your day going? What's the weather like where you are? I know for those of us in the Augusta, Georgia area, it is nice. Somewhere around mid-70s. We had some rain a little bit on Sunday. I think we may have had a little bit of rain on Saturday too. Right now, a little bit of rain on Monday. Right now, just plain gorgeous, beautiful, beautiful, gorgeous. I'm telling you. Feeling great and looking great out there. Loving it. Well, how was your weekend? Did you spend any time thinking about how you can go about the business of letting some of life's best moments come through you? Every now and then, you'll also hear me say that it's good for us to also let some of life's best moments come to us. And, of course, that being the case, because so often, well, you know, we are encouraged to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And sometimes if we don't love ourselves the right way, we may not love our neighbors the right way. It can make a difference, huge difference. Yeah, if we, for instance, just as a, for instance, if we really, really like enjoying life by engaging in a lot of dark activities, doing things that we know we should not be doing, but that's how we get our pleasure, by engaging in dark activities, forbidden activities. If that's the way we love ourselves in such a way that we get our pleasure by engaging in activities that we know we should not be participating in, how will we engage other people? What will we try to bring into the lives of others? If we're bringing darkness into our own lives, what will we bring into the lives of our neighbors? Something to think about. Show enough something to consider. So, I know, and don't get me wrong, I know that sometimes we can participate, you know, humans will participate in some things that they should not be involved in, and they may bring some good into the lives of some of their neighbors. But you can best believe they're going to be working hard to bring darkness into the lives of some of their neighbors as well. In fact, very often when they're finding their pleasure in life by engaging in dark activities, you can best believe that they are going to also make it their business to bring darkness into the lives of some of their own family members. And I don't mean just relatives either. I'm talking about people who live right there in the household with them. So you often hear me urge us to let some of life's best moments come through us, not some of life's darkest moments, which are some of life's worst moments. Some of the best moments come through us. And of course, that's going to entail very often making sure that we let some of life's brightest and best moments come to us. We can only offer what we have to offer. And so if we're continually inviting darkness into our lives, darkness is what we're going to have to offer others. All right, so keep that in mind. In the meantime, I do want to also tell you about something that a lot of you may want to be either getting into yourselves or encouraging someone else to get involved in. AmeriCorps Vista, along with United Way of the CSRA, is going to be holding a career fair. It will be their second annual career fair, which will be held at the Augusta Richmond County Public Library, which is located at 823 Telfair Street in Augusta. And this fair will take place on Wednesday, March 21st, from 10 a.m. until 1 p.m. 10 in the morning until 1 in the afternoon. The Augusta Richmond County Public Library, located at 823 Telfair Street. Second annual career fair. They're going to be offering free flash drives for the first 20 attendees. For more information, you can contact Veronica Jordan at 706-737-7228. Again, 706-737-7228. You can contact Jessica Wells at 706-951-3433. Jessica Wells at 706-951-3433. And again, that's the second annual career fair being held at the Augusta Richmond County Public Library, which is located at 823 Telfair Street in Augusta. And it will be held Wednesday, March 21st. That is tomorrow, from 10 a.m. until 1 p.m. Hope you can make it. And again, as always, be sure to pass that information on to someone else who can use it, even if you're not, or even if you are able to use it. Use that information. Share it with someone else as well. Pass it on. Yes, share the wealth of information. All right, how are we doing with regards to pay? We're going to be looking at this from, you know, at least a couple of angles over the coming weeks. Pay gaps. But we're starting now with what's happening with regards to women and pay. Looking at gender gains, looking at pay gains, pay gaps in the U.S. of A. According to some of the most recent research done by Pew. How are we doing? What would your guess be? You know, we've been hearing about and reading about pay gaps in between that exist between men and women in America for years and years, decades. How are we doing? Better or about the same? Pay gaps. Are the gaps between men and women closing, or are they about the same? If they are closing, are they closing at a significant rate to the point where you name the job, you name the profession, women are being paid about the same as men? Well, over the past half century, women really have strengthened their position in the labor force, and they've boosted their economic standing by making gains in labor force participation and wages and access to more lucrative occupations. But the progress on some fronts has actually stagnated in recent years, and large gender gaps persist at the top levels of leadership in government as well as in business. Key findings. Numero uno. Women make up 47% of the U.S. labor force. And as you know, that's almost half. Women make up 47% of the U.S. labor force, and that's up from 30% in 1950. Would you say that's good? Would you say that's bad? When you look at the reasons that women are making up so much more of the workforce, 30% in 1950, 47% now. So what are some of the reasons that we have more women in the workforce, labor force? Well, one reason is because more women are wanting to work. Yeah, I mean, wanting to be out there. You have a lot of women getting college educations, and they're wanting to use that education. That's why they went to college. Whether we're talking a vocational college or four-year college, they went further and got the master's degrees, PhDs. A lot of women are wanting to work outside the house. So that's one reason that we've had women to increase that labor force participation by 17% since 1950. Of course, another reason is because the cost of living has increased so much that very often it is requiring that mother and father, husband and wife, work just to sustain a decent standard of living. Some of you may recall some of the conversations we've had about this before, where I pointed out that, you know, what we pay now for automobiles 50 years ago, we paid for houses. And I don't mean tiny houses like we see on the TV now either. I mean houses that may have been 1,600 square feet, 1,900 square feet. And we were paying $50,000, $38,000 for those homes just a few decades ago. And now, because of the cost of living having skyrocketed, while incomes have only climbed, we're needing two people to work. You know, at one point, you could actually have one parent working to pay for that house. Not so easy to do it that way now. So there are various reasons that we have more women in the labor force. I mentioned that since 1950, we've had that 17% increase, but it has leveled off. Projections from the Bureau of Labor Statistics indicate that in the coming decades, women will continue to make up slightly less than half of the labor force. Numero dos. Women have seen steady growth in labor force participation over the past several decades, but that too has leveled off. In 2017, 57% of working age women ages 16 and older were either employed or looking for work. That's higher than it was in 1980 when it was 51%, but that's down a little bit from its peak of 60% in 1999. One of the main drivers of increased labor force participation among women over the decades has been the sharp increase in the share of mothers in the workforce. 73% of mothers with children younger than 18 were in the labor force in 2000, and that was up from 47% in 1975, the first year for which data on mothers' labor force participation is available. That share has remained relatively stable since about 2000. Men's presence in the labor force has been on the decline in recent decades. In 1980, 77% of working age men ages 16 and older were employed or looking for work. In 2017, 69% were in the labor force. Numero tres. Growing wages for women have helped narrow the gender gap, that gender pay gap. Now, the good news is, as I just mentioned, women's wages have been growing, and as a result, the pay gap between men and women has been becoming more and more narrow. The not so good news is that women still lag men in pay. Women's median hourly earnings in 2016 were $16 per hour, compared to $12.48 in 1980 after adjusting for inflation. Men earned a median hourly wage of $19.23 in 2016, down slightly from $19.42 in 1980. So you see what's happening there. For women, been going up. For men, slightly coming down. So at the same time that women's wages are going slightly up, the median hourly wage has been going up for a little while there, a little bit. The median hourly wage for men has come down. So in 2016, the median working woman earned 83 cents for every dollar earned by men, compared with 64 cents for every man's dollar in 1980. For workers ages 25 to 34, the wage gap is smaller. In 2016, women in this group, 25 to 34, earned 90 cents for every dollar that a man in the same age group made. White and Asian women have narrowed the wage gap with white men to a much greater degree than Black and Hispanic women. Women's increasing wages have been driven in part by their increased presence in more lucrative occupations. For example, women today are just as likely as men to be working in managerial positions. In 1980, men were twice as likely as women to have these types of jobs. I know that a lot of you may not recall this because it's been a while since I mentioned it, but I mentioned some years ago, I actually started talking about this probably about 12 years ago, 15 years ago, even before I was on air, but I've been discussing it since I've been on air too. And it has to do with what I was saying about this whole issue of white women doing better than black men. And I had said that that was going to happen because that was going to be a preference of white men to ensure that white women continue to do better than the black race overall, including black men. And the stats are showing that that is indeed happening. That was one of the angles, one of the other angles that I was wanting us to explore that from. You know, we see the pay gap between white men and white women closing, and I think that's a good thing. In fact, I think that's a great thing. I think it's great when we have people deciding that, you know, our leaders, our men who are in leadership position, our women who are in leadership position, saying, hey, you know what? We have women doing the same type of job that these men are doing. They should be making the same pay that men are making. I think that that's fair. I think it should be that way regardless of gender. I think it should be that way regardless of ethnicity. So I'm glad that Asian women are doing so much better than they were doing. Now we just need to make this something that is happening across the board so that everyone who's doing the same type of job is making the same money, regardless of gender, regardless of ethnicity. All right, I'll be back in a few. We'll look at this some more. We're also going to talk a little bit about something else that has to do with money, finance, you name it. It has to do with helping those who need help the most. We'll be looking at that. In the meantime, let you hear this song by Dayon. Lynette Woods. She has a great song here. It's in, and I'll give you some more information on this in just a minute.
If your body